think of
the Manhattan Project, then we know that there was a lot of people that would have put some time and effort and put a plan together. Those of us who are in the construction industry, like myself, okay, who supply materials to construction sites before they ever begin, you know, the contractor brings me a roll and he says, drops it on the desk, said, this is what I'm going to build. And what do? We unroll it and we look and see what is his intent. So I want to suggest here that according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, this verse 4 that we have is the blueprint, okay, of God's purpose. Okay, we speak about blueprint reading. This is God's architectural plan, his purpose from eternity to eternity, all summed up in one verse here. Because the end of the verse, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, this gives us the character of the calling wherewith he has called us into his purpose. When will it be fulfilled in its complete detail?
There is not because of anything good in any of us. The acceptance,
the redemption, the forgiveness, it's in Christ. If you are in Christ, you get all of those. Now, I think you put it beautifully from God's perspective. Accepting comes first because that's where it comes, heavenward. And in Ephesians, we are in that, on this high plateau where we are really getting a view of God's purpose and God's mind and God's pleasure in all of these things. But it is in Christ. It's not in myself. It is in Christ. Everything in those verses that we have is in Christ. And then the point you made about the adoption. You know, again, he makes me his son. Change my last name. You know my last name is now? Not Barry. Christian. That's my last name. I carry the name of Christ. That is, he changed your last name. And now, he brings you into the family business. You see now, the father have a business. He had the project. And now he brings me in and he said, okay, son, now when you were little, all I gave you is some toys and some stuff and just kind of, you know, kind of show you a way. Go, just go and play. Now you're mature enough. Now I'm going to take you in and I'm going to show you the family business. I'm going to show you my purpose so you will be a partner. My purpose is to glorify Christ. I want you to work, if I could say, with me. And that is what God is bringing us into. Now we are partner. We are sons. We are getting into the family business. We are mature enough. Not children here. It's sons that are adopted into the family of God.
I think while we're on this particular section, or subject rather, of the chosen ones, the question arises, at least in my mind, and I'm sure others are curious as well, but why does Christ, or why have only we been chosen and accepted and redeemed? Why is it just this select company, or... I was able to answer it somewhat in my mind, but I'd prefer a better answer from one of you guys.
Let's hear your answer.
Well, I looked at the verses in, it's either 1st or 2nd Peter, where Peter says that man has no excuse. There's always some sort of evidence of Christ or God, and that there's some greater being. And then I looked later on in Revelations when either the 2nd or 3rd part of men was being killed, and it said that they hardened their hearts. So I figured that, in a sense, everybody has had the opportunity, so to say, but there are those that have shunned it. So that's why I kind of feel, I know that Christ has chosen us, but I feel that also maybe it works both ways. I'm not too sure. It's still an iffy subject in my mind. Sorry. Someone could clarify. That'd be great.
God is sovereign. Ever remember that? And man is responsible. The gospel message does not go out aimed at just a few. It goes out to this whole world. The gospel preacher never knows where the Spirit of God will take that word. The printer of tracts never knows where that little individual tract will be taken. God in his sovereignty knows, but man is responsible for what he hears. Now, you know, there's many things that bring man into this realm of responsibility. The very creation itself, the world that we live in, speaks of God day and night. The very system of stars in the universe tells man continually of the greatness and of the glory of the Creator God. You see? And now, when it comes to man's responsibility, that's a different matter. That's man looking at what God has said, accepting the sentence that God has against him, he or she, accepting it, repenting of their sins, and going forward. To go further into that, I think, is a very difficult thing to do, because we are finite. He is infinite. We are just humans. And so we can say the gospel goes forth to all that will hear. I thought immediately when you were speaking of Pharaoh. You know, it tells us that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But God did not harden Pharaoh's heart until it tells me that Pharaoh had hardened his heart many times and shook his fist in God's face and said, "Who is this God that I should obey?" God took that man up to the challenge, didn't he? And we know the desperate ending that he came to. But I want to just then go into this that Emil was talking, that God has taken those whom he has redeemed. And he says to you and I want you to know my secrets. I want you to know what is going to happen. I'm going to reveal to you this mystery, which this world knows nothing about. It says, having made known. That doesn't say going to make known. That says having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now look at this verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's not now, we know that. That is in the future. That's that coming day. It says he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now let me tell you something, young people. Global warming is not going to affect this. Just get hold of that. Global warming is not going to affect it. Man is not going to destroy what God has created. If you want to talk about global warming, you go to the book of Peter and you find that it is true. It is going to be very hot in this world. And the day comes and the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. And there's going to be what the book of Peter says. But you kind of tune a lot of the rest of this out, you see. This is what is going to happen. I wonder, am I living today in light of what is going to happen tomorrow? That's what this is about. That I'm conducting my affairs, I'm living my life as a young person or as older ones in the light of the day of Christ that is going to come upon this earth. People will see it if I am. They ask, Peter says. They take knowledge. They ask people, what is this hope that we see in you? That's a good question. What do they see? This is where the Spirit of God would bring us to, isn't it? Is my life, is your life, a life that says to this world that we're passing through, I'm living for another world. My hopes, my dreams, my aspirations don't center in a world that is going on to judgment. Sure, I have to earn a living here. I've got to go out and sell every day. You've got to go to school. We've got to do those things. But those things then...